Welcome to Critical Hit, a Major Spoilers podcast. Thank you so much for checking us out this week. Oh, man. Last week's episode was so cool. Or I should say the last episode was so cool because I know we had a couple holidays in there. Kevin, what's going on with you?
What's going on with me is I've been ready for this episode for a while, and I'm super excited. And you guys, being the crew of the Squeaky Clean, the Drifters, are on your first drift race, specifically on the planet of Akaton, the red mining planet that's a burnt-out husk of what it once was, primed to be used as the cinematic backdrop for a high-stakes, high-violence group of desperate racers, yourselves included.
Hey, I'm all for it.
Yeah. And you had encountered several other ships, or rather crews of their other ships, who you are competing against, a group of Formians, a group that seems to have an enmity with Vangi and Hecubino, Sam and Rodrigo's characters, from their past, the new team Rust Dragon, and what seems to be a team of audition rejects from you guys, Team Brain Power.
Team Pair the Spares.
Knockoffs.
They only wish they were as cool as us.
So you had just finished like the introduction to the race. You basically driven down the straightaway in your buggy, the Sand Skink. There was some jockeying for position. There was some, going for various upgrades. You guys got a weapons upgrade by pitching your product to for your sponsors. So you have a special space sud spray you can use. And you were just about to exit that kind of initial straightaway and into the next section of the race, but you do not know what the future holds for you.
So we're going into a canyon?
Yes, you are about to go into the canyon known as the Rift Spires last time.
On Critical Hit.
On Critical Hit.
And that is where you had left off. You do not know what is in store for you in the Rift Spires, but it's sure to be full of surprises and twists and turns.
Rifts and Spires.
Presumably. So, as we begin the game, we'll take a quick aside and look at things from the viewer's perspective. So imagine this is all on your view screen. You can be watching it from your little wrist com, projecting a hologram, or, at home, safe on your little industrial couch, wherever. And projected to you, however you're viewing Drifters, is a middle-aged Vesk man wearing kind of industrial overalls and giving like an earnest look at the camera. And he says, "Hi there. I'm Caroso, the founder and owner of Ten Havens Security. As a small businessman myself, well, not that small. I found I was having trouble securing my workforce and properties. But when I use other companies' products, I'm left drowning in wrongful termination of employment and life lawsuits and criminal use of disintegrators fines. Who has time for all these pesky regulations? Even security, with a line of fine tasers and shock pikes. They're so versatile. Need your warehouse secured? Shock pike arrays and electrostatic field generators. Is your labor force giving you guff about conditions, hours, or missing pay? Why don't you prod them back to work with our productivity jolters? Are the beggars you have to pass on your way from the launch pads or mag trains getting too close with their grubby little hands? Keep them a safe distance away with our whiplash line of lightning whips. All Ten Haven security devices are certified somewhat violent and not necessarily lethal, meaning your legal team will sleep easy while you can get your people back to work. Don't believe me? Well, I'm not just a founder, I'm also a client. Get back to work!
Nice.
Ten Haven Security. Security with a spark. They are the... Notably, you see the Ten Haven Security logo and image on the Basilisk. The new team, Rust Dragon, has chosen this company as their sponsor. But with that, you guys come back from commercial, and we're back at that same little desk, the announcement desk, with the human and the floating jellyfish Barathu. And they will give you their little intro spiel before the camera cuts back to you guys.
Welcome back, folks, to the 27th season of Drifters, the galaxy's infosphere show that doesn't ask why, but instead asks why not. It's been so long, it feels like weeks since our sponsors aired their ads. We really should do something about hypnosis and advertising. I'll mention it to the network. Anyways, I'm your host, Jack Hammer, joined by Shu Lai, my Barathu co-host. Is it just me? Or do you have significantly more tentacles than before the commercial break?
I'm sure that's your imagination, human co-host Jock. But let's focus on the real stars here, the Drifters. They're about to enter the race's second section, perhaps the most difficult challenge for the crew's pilot, specifically.
And let's not forget their gunners, engineers, and medics. They're going into the Rift Spires, a deadly corridor of twisting turns and topsy-turvy tricks that they can use against their opponents. Let's get back to the action!
And with that, the cameras cut to you guys on board the Sandskink, driving into the canyon that is the Rift Spires. So, you had been following the Formian vehicle, the Colonizer, which had jumped off to an early lead. Bringing up the rear was the Basilisk, the new team Rust Dragons, big wheel honkin' truck. And then the Tripod of Doom was somewhere right around you guys. But there are multiple entrances to the canyons, so you quickly lose track of them. You might spot them again as you start driving through the canyons. But for right now, you don't have an enemy in sight, and it's your guys' action. We've already rolled initiative, so we're ready to go. You're driving through the canyons of the Rift Spires, which I will give you a quick description of, then turn it over to you guys to act. So you're barreling into these canyons, the horizon disappears, and you're forced to make a sharp turn after turn. So Bob, you're keeping pretty busy here to keep from slamming into towering shafts of stone. You see lots of different colors of strata in the stone, like tan and red and scarlet, and I don't know what color that is, and it hurts my eyes to look at it, and orange. And the gorge walls are all pockmarked with previous explosions and laser scorch marks, with some looking fairly recent and others could be centuries old. There are some ruins from other vehicles that have been left to bake and rust, and some desiccated skeletons show the remains of their crews. Unlike a typical canyon with two walls between two mountains, this valley is known for its eponymous spires, narrow pillars of rock that stretch to the sky, sometimes precariously balanced in a very tall hourglass-like formation, with wide mesas sitting atop columns that don't seem wide enough to support them. In fact, you see the signs of many of these spires having previously crashed to the ground, toppling other spires and crushing whatever was beneath them. So that could be your fate if you don't navigate carefully. but you're also in a race. So, good luck. All right, so we're going to go back right into initiative. Keep in mind, you know, there's lots of different things you can do on board the ship, even if you're not immediately in combat. So we're going to go to Skrytik.
Oh, right off the bat?
Right off
the bat. Can I go ahead and try to help chart a course to help the pilot make it through without us getting dashed on rocks?
Yeah, that seems totally reasonable. So you're going to use the scanners that are on board the buggy?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. I mean, do you think that that would be... I'm okay with that being a survival check or a perception check or a physical science check? Like, what are you trying to gather info about specifically?
I was kind of thinking survival just to... get information of the terrain, see if there's perhaps a precarious formation that we may be able to make use to maybe cut off pursuers or whatever. Or
yeah, just okay. Why don't you give me a survival check and we'll see how it all turns out.
All right. 29.
All right. So Skrytik knows these tunnels well, and you know, you can parse what the scanners are telling you and translate that into real practical advice. So what you can tell is you can basically see this little section of the map, and you're going to have to, you know, make a lot of quick turns just regardless. In fact, you're going to, I can tell you that since you've succeeded at this check, basically if you're going at full speed in here, you take an additional -2 penalty to piloting checks. So because of all the obstacles. Furthermore, you now know that at the end of your pilot's turn, they have to make a piloting check with a certain DC that I know and you don't, or you'll collide with a wall or pillar and suffer some damage to the vehicle. It might not be catastrophic, but it could be bad. Lastly, there are spires that you can target with weapons. And if you successfully deal enough damage to the spire, you can cause a burst of, you know, stone and debris to fall on the area around it, meaning that vehicles in that area will have to basically make pilot checks as though they were reflex saves to dodge the collapsing stones or take damage.
Nice.
Also, I'll say with your little successful scanning check, you detect up ahead the colonizer.
Yeah. All right. Colonizers are ahead. Slow and steady is the idea in this situation, guys. Keep your heads up.
All right. Well, with that advice, it actually goes immediately to your pilot, Bob.
Oh, hello. So I guess the first thing that I'm going to do is slow this thing down to not super fast speed, but just, you know, crazy speed.
Yeah, not at insano speed, but yes. Just normally
downgrade
unsafe.
From ludicrous to plaid.
Yeah, just the speed of 5, I suppose.
Okay,
and I'm going to want to, from the looks of what I'm seeing, it looks like there's 2 formations. One to the left and one to the right of us. And I want to kind of shoot through those two and then immediately kind of swerve to the right away from the other ship.
Sure. Up to you guys on whether you're being conflict averse or seeking out violence. But yes, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Yep.
Go ahead and give me, so you have slowed down, which is good. And then give me a piloting check because you still do need to, you're going through that corridor, and you have to be careful not to hit the sides.
Yeah. 23.
It's like Operation, except your life depends on it.
Yeah.
23. 23 is good enough.
Yay.
So the vehicle does not take damage at this time. You have successfully slowed down. You're actually in pretty much point-blank range of... the colonizer, as it seems to be trying to navigate these twists and turns as well.
before you're able to make that veer to the right.
Okay.
So that brings up the Tripod of Doom from behind you. And it is going to lash out with one of its... it has these little tentacles that I think I've mentioned before. They're metal, but so they're, you know, metal tendrils that reach out from the central minaret of this enormous silver tripod. And they are small enough to attack people individually. And this tentacle is going after you, Bob.
No, not again.
Yeah. It's going to try to clamp something onto your skull. So, what is your KAC?
KAC is 14.
Ooh, so even though you do get a plus 2 bonus from cover from the vehicle, you are narrow. It slides under the railings of the buggy, and despite your crewmate's efforts at pushing it away, it manages to basically the tendril reaches up right behind you and explodes open into like a little skull cap, and it clamps onto your skull.
Oh no.
Yeah, the problem with that is you immediately are engaged in psychic combat with Talos. So, Talos was ready for this. Why don't you go ahead and give me a will saving throw against his psychic onslaught?
Ooh, 13.
Ooh, 13. Yikes. Now, so, go ahead.
That's not a skill check, right? We don't have that plus 2 or anything from last time?
No. Okay. No. Yeah, you do not have any bonuses to will saves at this time, I believe. So, Talos is taking a page out of your guys' playbook, and he has trapped you, Bob, in an endless series of repeating tasks within your mind, where there's just an infinite number of knobs and dials to turn. And you're on this timer, and you have to move from one task to another, but it never ends, and you realize it's just wrapping around, and you're beginning to lose time. And to the rest of your crewmates, it looks like you're beginning to drift off at the wheel, like you are dazed, because you are dazed.
Boo.
Yes. So the good news is you just acted. The bad news is you won't act next turn. And you will also automatically fail any pilot check you are forced to make because you're not there. So, after that, you hear the sounds of the high-powered engines and jet thrusters and stuff of the big rig of the Basilisk, but it seems way behind you, so they're struggling to catch up. That brings it to Amu. Amu, what do you do?
Trying to figure that out.
So the tentacle, for what it's worth, has withdrawn. Once it, or tendril, or whatever you want to call it, once it connected with Bob and latched on that little skull clamp, it was good, and it retreated. The cap is still there, though.
Can I use medicine to try and remove the cap
and absolutely
potentially treat whatever is going on?
Be you careful, the low try. Jack on his head will crush him. It's probably got a die pack in it, too.
That'll be a 31.
Yay.
Okay, so you need somebody's help with this. Like, you know how to do it, but the thing is just physically cumbersome. Who do you ask for help?
Bengi?
Bengi, yeah.
Sure.
Yeah.
So, between you and so Sam, does Bangi help out?
Oh yeah.
Great. So you guys are able to pull, and as you do so, like you're able using your claws and pieces of coral Amu to cut. You know which ones are like the most important ones that you're that are safe to cut while you're pulling this cap off of Bob's head. Bob and Amu, what's your reaction as these things are being, as you know, it's still connected to you and still trying to sink its metal claws into you, but it's getting peeled off like a particularly nasty leech from your skull.
Well, if I'm still dazed, I probably just sense a lot of pain in my head, but probably don't know why.
Cool. Amu, anything from you?
Concentration, just making sure we're not causing more damage to Bob than necessary to get this off of there.
Sure, you're pretty sure he'll be fine. All right, you peel it off. Good work. Anything else? That's certainly your main action for the turn. What do you do with it? It's still writhing in your hands.
Shove it into my shell somewhere. Safe.
Interesting. Bold choice. I like it. Research later.
It might be necessary.
Then, if that's it for our coral medic friend, it is time for Bob's fellow robot, Quentin.
I have two ideas, both of which are probably against the rules.
That tracks.
All right. So, question one. When using diplomacy, am I allowed to use the James T. Kirk definition of diplomacy and zap people with the big frap gun? The old cowboy diplomacy?
So, there is a different skill called Intimidate that is sometimes applicable. Well,
I'm bad at that.
What are you trying to do?
Well, I had two thoughts. My first thought was to shoot at Talos's face. Okay. Because I don't like his big, stupid face.
Sure. There's my no way that would thought, be diplomacy check.
My other thought was more of a... And I don't know if this would fall under computers or not. Would it be possible for me to temporarily take control of Bob's motor functions using my superior computer number to pilot the ship temporarily until Bob's brain reawakens?
So normally that I'd be like a hard no, you know, like right. You can't hack other people's brains.
Right.
Or at least not, you know.
There's easily. Literally a hole in his skull, I mean.
Well, so, wait for it. If you got that that skull cap from Amu, then maybe, you know, the answer is not necessarily no.
All right.
Do you have so piloting?
Do I?
Yeah.
I have computers. Bob has piloting.
Oh, so, yeah. Okay. You're trying
since
to turn
Bob
him
is a computer,
back on that, I see.
Basically, what I would be doing is just
he's
using
Bob is more than just a computer.
I said Bob has a computer. I didn't say Bob is a computer. We are more than computers.
You can use that new hacking brother. Feature we just got, which I assume uses computers.
Oh.
We do have that hacking feature. Ooh. Quentin is going to ask Amu for the hat.
Amu hands it over.
All right. Quentin is going to open up the middle third, and many little appendages and tools and drills and things are going to just pop out of his midsection. And Quentin is going to try and use the hat to keep Bob functioning until Bob awakens and is Bob once again.
Oh, so, I was suggesting using the hacking thing to, like, you know, hack into, like, we got a hacking tower up.
It's your turn, Vangie. He's got a plan. And I don't think you're getting in the way. You can not disapprovingly.
Kevin wants me to do this foolish plan so that whatever bad things happen will be my fault, is what it is.
Yep, that's legit.
Yeah, I'm with you. I'm with you on this. So I would like to try that.
All right. So you get the skull cap back from Amu, you open up, you know, your segments of yourself and start, you know, doing diagnostics on the cap and plugging into like various ports and, you know, typing in things. And then you go and put the cap back on Bob? Because it has to be, or it won't work. Okay, cool. Great. So why don't you give me a computers check?
All right. And if this works, the first thing Bob will say is what every computer type mind says when it reactivates. I am TWKI.
Ow!
Oh, no.
Oh, that's too good.
Nice. Nice. Perfect. Love to see it.
Way to go.
Oh, I just broke Bob.
All right. So,
blue screen.
I will say this. You did succeed.
Why does this eye have a red ring, and why won't it go away?
You did succeed at interfacing with Bob. And you do have some control over his motor skills. So you can make him say or do something right now. Something really simple, not even a full action. Just something basic if you want.
Bob says, hello!
Hello, world. Okay, cool. Immediately after that, you are also engaged in psychic combat. Now the three of you are all occupying the same, or well, you two and Talos are occupying the same mindscape that Talos seems to have far more control over than either of you. You're able to somehow parse reality through some of your other filters, but it feels distant, like you're watching it on a small screen or something like that, as opposed to the mental combat world that you have now engaged yourself in via this technological device and interfacing your brain to Bob's brain to Talos's brain.
Told you. Kevin had evil in mind.
Yeah, I mean, the one really helped that out, though.
It did, yeah. I mean, don't get me wrong. I mean, probability helped to mess it up. He was just laughing at his evil laugh. All right, so is there anything I can do, or is that my turn?
Oh, no, that's your turn. You took your action, and it was a doozy.
All right.
So, the colonizer sees you guys right on its tail, and it does not like that, because it doesn't have a tail. It has, like, insectoid stingers and such. So, it's going to launch some acid pods at the Sand Skink. So what is the Sand Skink's EAC, Bob?
Its EAC right now is 15.
15. Oh, all right. So believe it or not, you're able to dodge this particular volley of acid pods, which is great because they explode into the nearby stone and just scorch through them, like making little tunnels as they go. They were definitely fairly hard-hitting attacks, and the colonizer...
Oh, I stunned the colonizer's pilot last...
Ooh, last time?
Critical hit?
Mm-hmm.
Well, then they're not going anywhere until they deal with that, but they did... unsuccessfully launched their acid pods at you. So great, great, good action, guys. Vangi.
So what a mess. So I'm gonna look at having like held on to Bob to help get that like cap off of him, the whole situation with him and Quentin, and just push them out of the way and grab the wheel to be prepared to make the pilot check next round, since he's going to be out of it.
Sure. So I'll certainly let you grab the wheel, but I actually was ruling that grabbing the wheel in order to make things like more dynamic and quick-paced, you can do that as a reaction. So you actually still have your action for the turn.
Fantastic. Then is there one of those pillars that we can apparently shoot at? Like, is there one of those in the area where the colonizer
like
is?
This one right ahead? Or this
yes,
one
exactly.
right ahead of you? Yeah, yeah, for sure.
So I'm going to try to shoot at the one that's right ahead of us to try to get it to scatter some debris on the colonizer.
Great. And you're using the...
The
rail gun?
Yes, the rail gun, exactly.
Okay. Well, why don't you go ahead and make your attack roll?
All right, it's just a standard range attack with my weapon focus applying?
That's correct. Which one are you targeting, by the way, the near one or the far one?
Womp womp. Well, I was going to target the near one, but I got not
you
one.
You target the near one. No, yep. No. It's all good. It's all good. You guys are doing great. You're doing great. Man. So, unfortunately, you do target the near one. And when you target the near one, this happens.
Great.
So you successfully hit that near one. Unfortunately, the way you hit it right on. And you're like, yeah, that was great. And then it just starts tipping forward. You can just see the mesa tumbling straight down. Not to any side, but straight back towards you guys. And it is about to crush you. So this would be that time where you go ahead and jump in and make that reaction to take over piloting. Because otherwise, Bob's going to immediately fail his piloting check to dodge out of the way.
Yeah, I'm going to try to fix the problem I just created.
Can I hold up a little hand-painted sign
so
that says,
do I make
yikes?
A piloting check right now? Or?
Yes, make a piloting check. And
okay.
Yes,
and
you certainly can hold up.
Do I have a minus two to that right now? Or?
So, you are currently getting a plus two bonus for being off-roading, because you're not on any where you're going, you don't need roads. And you are not at full speed. So, you know, Steven, when Bob decelerated, he successfully saved you from taking a minus four penalty. So the net result is make your piloting check with a plus two bonus.
Fantastic. All right. So that's going to be that number.
Whoa.
Oh, my God. That is
okay.
Nice.
The universe is broken.
Our last three rolls have all been nat ones.
Yeah.
Well, it's been fun playing with you guys.
Wow. Wow, wow, wow.
Join us next week for our new game.
So
spectacular.
Someone is tracking the vehicle's hull and hit points and such.
I guess we are now.
Yep. Great. So the good news is it has a hardness, so you can subtract that from this. The bad news is you take 13 damage from the crushing rocks.
Okay.
Is the 8 in parentheses, is that like current damage? Like, have we taken
damage? That's the
damage
that we took last time, I believe.
No, on critical hit.
So I believe that number has been there since the beginning.
Oh, okay.
And that number represents when your vehicle is broken.
Ah, gotcha.
So basically, if you take your whole vehicle's hit points and damage, it is blown apart and cannot be salvaged. If you are below its broken value, you start taking really serious penalties, and you need to fix it. But there's things you can do, to jury-rig things until you can get it properly fixed.
Okay, so how much damage did we just take?
13 damage.
We only took 8 because of the hardness. Oh, right. So right. We are at 22 of 30 hit points.
Okay. All right. And the buggy is covered in rubble, so it's going to be a little difficult to get out, too.
Oh, no.
Oh, boy. All right. That was, that was Vangie's turn?
Yep.
Well, I will save you the end of turn pilot check to avoid running into things because that, didn't work.
We just did that.
It's too late for that.
Oh. You don't get any extra movement because you've already moved this round. So that's going to bring it up to Hecubino.
Okay.
Also point out, because you guys may have forgotten, that things like your popularity, like how well you're doing on all the interwebs versus your competitors does matter, as well as whether you have successfully promoted your product. Now, you did promote your product last time, so there might be diminishing returns, but still.
Sure. Is the tripod within the arc of our suds?
Yes, it is, actually.
Okay, I might do that, unless it requires some sort of role that I'm completely terrible at. Hopefully it's just a save for them.
Let's see here. Yes, so you can activate the space suds and... that's going to basically force them to make a check or suffer a collision. So you can just take your action and spray them as much as you want.
Yeah, I'm going to do that, see if I can get some pressure off.
Cool. Does Hecubino say or do anything as he emits the jet of sudsy green spray?
Yeah. He hops on and then looks back at his crew and says, "Figure it out, guys," and then pulls on it.
Great. So Hecubino's trying to buy you guys some time from Team Brain Power right behind you. That brings it back up to Skritik. A little bit more going on this time round.
Yeah.
You gave them such good navigation advice, and then they ran right into the thing.
If I can manage to fire reverse thrusters, will that be enough to pull us out of the rock pile?
Well, so this is a buggy still. Mm. So you can put it into reverse, but you're not the driver Vangi is. Try to kick her out of the way and try to take over piloting.
Yeah, that's kind of what I'm wondering. Can I squeeze in underneath?
Yep.
Between Vangi and Bob, yeah.
Excuse me, pardon me.
Yep. Come up from under.
Vangi, do you allow Skritik to take the wheel?
Oh, yeah, I will. Having, royally messed up, she'll, put her hands up in the air and just, be my guest.
Yep, I will try to do that until, our normal pilot can resume.
All right, so what speed are you going to try to get the sand skink up to? The options are normal unsafe speed or ludicrous super unsafe speed.
We are kind of stuck in some rocks, right?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Would going to an unsafe speed help jar us out, maybe?
Yeah, I mean, it might be safer to go to a safe speed, but, you might also have a harder time getting out of this mess if you don't just hit the, push the pedal to the metal.
I think a decent roll is going to jar us out, so you have to consider what is going to get you there.
Yeah, and this might be a Ralph Nader situation where we're unsafe at any speed.
I'm kind of nervous with the way rolls have been going recently, but I think I'm going to try an unsafe but not ludicrous speed.
All right, go ahead and make your piloting check.
Okay.
You guys didn't know that you can have roll 20, cheat for you, did you? I can just, have them set whatever rolls I want for you guys.
What?
Oh, that explains everything.
Nice.
All right. So you break free, but barely, and are able to get going, although you kind of sputter as, it hasn't got a whole lot of go under it once you get out from underneath some of the rocks.
At least we're clear. We can worry about that part later.
You do still have some extra debris scattered amongst you guys, and you're covered in dust. Oh, and I took the liberty of moving you to the camera right, which is to sit, because that's what Bob had said earlier, but I realized there's a new pilot, so do you want to go to the right, or do you want to follow the colonizer?
Right sounds good.
You're immune to my taunts, all right, fine.
Skritik's got a good head on his shoulders.
That doesn't have to be happen to be an actual ramp we could utilize ahead of us, does it?
There is not a ramp. There's just more of these horrible spires.
Okay. All right, noted. I'll keep that in mind.
Bob, you are now in mental combat with both Quentin and Talos. I almost said Matthew and Talos, but that would be very different.
Yes.
Yeah, and meta. I definitely win that.
So one of the things, I've got a built-in system that anytime it detects unwanted attempts to control the system, the software will kick in and try to do some antivirus removal stuff. So
oh my god, I've got a captcha.
Using computers.
Sure. I like it. Go ahead and make it
wants me to identify 16. Everything. It's a bus. What's that about?
All right. So, Matthew, why don't you go ahead and roll, for Quentin, why don't you roll computers as well?
Hello. One moment. Hang on. I have to find where I am. My computer is asleep. There we go. Computers, you say.
All right.
Aha.
So, I've got good news and bad news for Bob. So, the good news is you can eject one of the intruders from your mind. The bad news is it's Quentin.
All right. So, my involuntary reflex, my arm shoots up and punches the Quentin unit in the... in the midsection.
And that breaks you free, Quentin, and you're no longer engaged in the psychic battle. Now, Bob, you were going to lose your action anyway,
boo,
for what it's worth, because you got dazed. So, you know, your action had kind of already been lost.
Yeah.
But within the mindscape, you were able to sort of free Quentin slash get him out of your brain. But the bad news again is... Quentin reconnected you to Talos. Oh, and as you're doing that, so your body punches Quentin's body. Does your mind mentally, telepathically communicate anything to Quentin?
Get out of my head.
Eloquent in its brevity. Cool. So, Quentin, you're kicked out. Then,
as I go, I want to shout, "There's a saying that you can't unscramble eggs."
Hey, this man, is your mind on Quentin.
This game wants me to be on brand.
All right. So next up is the tripod, and the tripod is going to struggle through the space studs and then fail its pilot check at the end of the round, going through this canyon and kind of topple over for a moment, then start to pick itself back up as its sharp silver legs pick through the rubble. It does have a mind link with Bob, though, so I think we're going to mind thrust. Yeah. Why don't you give me another will save there, Bob?
I will save. 19. Oh,
that's actually good. Yeah, you succeed, which I believe is going to save you some damage.
Woo-hoo.
So I roll it right now. Yeah. So, really good that you saved. So your mind is overwhelmed with a glut of Talos's psychic information. But in this case, you're the weakest android in the lineup, and all the other androids are in android training programs, and they're all making fun of you.
No, don't make fun of me. I look down. I'm not wearing my coveralls.
Not wearing your casing.
Yep.
Ah.
His wires are exposed. Stop programming yourself.
Wait.
So, anyway, you take 14 damage.
Ouch.
After you successfully made your save. I know. That was half.
And that comes out of my hit points, right?
Stamina.
Oh, my stamina. So I've got like 4 hit points or 4 stamina left.
Yes. Yeah. It comes out of stamina first, then hit points.
Ooh.
Because hit points are the serious, you know, now we mean business. Now you're taking real injuries. This was more mentally wearing and tearing. So that is it for the tripod. And the Team Rust Dragon seems to have finally gotten on the map. Those of you paying attention to the feed realize that they basically had to stop, kind of turn around almost and go pick up their weapons because they were so far behind, but they had to, you know, not having weapons is not acceptable. So that brings up Amu. Last action was very effective for you, Amu, although you promptly allowed Quentin to undo it.
Let's just get this off of him again.
Okay. Medicine check.
That's only a 17.
Ooh. Okay, so you're going to need somebody's assistance, but this time it's not free. So who do you ask for assistance? By not free, I mean they have to make a skill check to succeed at it.
Which skill?
Yeah.
Well, I would allow medicine, engineering, or life science would also be acceptable, or athletics.
Proficiency crowbar.
I would take athletics.
Yep.
Yeah, I have zero in all of the previously mentioned skills.
Vengi, we need help again.
Yeah, she'll, like, try to pry it open and, like, look at Quentin, like, what are you doing? Only an 11.
Oh, God.
Oh, boy. So you're basically stuck pulling on it, but you do not have it all the way off. So, Vengi, on your action, you can take your action, and you will be able to successfully pull it off.
Okay.
Yep. But you don't get it off right now on Amu's turn.
Gotcha.
Quentin.
Yes.
Is your action.
I don't know. My last few actions haven't really gone very well.
That's true. Wow. You've only taken
maybe
one.
Maybe you should get back on... maybe you should spin this.
Hmm. Skritik.
Oh, yeah?
Are you from here?
Not precisely.
Do people know that?
Most likely not.
All right. So, if I'm not mistaken, there's a large population of Skritix Yosoki people on planet Framistat, correct?
Axon? Yes.
Acton. Yes, the one we're on.
Yes.
Okay, so here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to broadcast out edited moments of everything that went right in the last turn, which is to say Skritik. And I'm going to make sure that it emphasizes the hometown boy doing good. How he is one of your own. Our own go-go Skritik. Everybody cheer for Skritik. And I'm going to see if maybe I can get some sympathetic awesomeness and people are just like, wow, look at how cool he is. He's the only one in that entire Jeep who didn't just bonk it in the last round.
Nice. So, I like that. I would consider that your choice of a diplomacy or computers check. You're basically trying to come up with like a short, you know, like a TikTok or meme collection of yep. Skritik in about 5 seconds in the back of a moving Jeep. But that's what you're trained for.
What my child would call a song that slaps, a banger in the background, something awesome, something that rolls a 21.
Hey, that's pretty good.
If I use skills that I'm actually good at, these rolls are better.
All right. So, as you begin psyching up your fans, you discover that there's basically a little popularity meter, and you have moved from neutral to second best. So you are the second most popular crew right now. And as a result, there are a bunch of little lines throughout your the hull of like the frame of the buggy. They emit some sort of nano wires and nanotech, and they start coating the surface of the buggy, and your vehicle's hardness is increased by 2.
Nice.
Reflexive defensive armor.
Yes, which you get for increasing your popularity.
All right, someone make a note of it on the sheet.
So we have two. So the hardness went away before, right?
Can I edit?
No. So here's how hardness work. Hardness is something. It's not like hit points or shields that are consumed. Hardness is kind of like damage reduction. If you've ever played like an old school of D&D, it means deduct this value before you apply damage. So hardness is, you know, like let's say if your hardness is now seven. So now it's seven. So if I hit you for 10 damage, you're only going to take 3.
Gotcha. Right.
Should we make a note of what its standard hardness
later? 5 (+2) or something like that. Yeah.
Okay.
Or even better, 7 + 2.
Yeah, then it becomes 9 + 2, which is 11 + 2.
Right.
It's just endlessly. Yeah.
Yeah, it's recursive. And I think that as a computer brain person.
But like only one of you do it at a time, because I'm watching like 3 different people try to type this out.
I'm not.
Again, guys, figure it out.
All right. So Quentin starts hyping you up to the locals, Skritik. Does this make you comfortable, uncomfortable? You start seeing your face, with Quentin's idea of what would go along well with it being like Skritik, local hero, and music that you're not sure about as an underlying track. I feel like Quentin and Skritik are able to make
a little bit
eye contact or you know, face to LED screen contact.
awkward about that. It seems like I thought I was just here for a supporting role.
All right. So now the colonizer is going to get itself free and get back on the move. And it's also going to launch a pair of Formian drones at you. Because you are right behind it. And so, let's see. Colonizer, drone launch attack. What is the vehicle's kinetic armor class?
17.
Ooh, you are narrowly missed, which means that a pair of Formian workers, you know, these giant ant-like creatures, get tossed, like shot out of, excreted? Out of a vehicular orifice towards you guys, and they land and skitter off into the rocks as their shells basically crack, and you guys can drive over them without them successfully boarding the vehicle.
Gross.
Vangy.
I guess I'm going to spend my action to pry this helmet off.
Hey, there you go. Now you have this helmet. What do you do with it? It's still
I'm going to crush it.
You don't want to keep
it. Let me put it on your head first.
I do not want it. I want to stomp on it.
Okay.
But so Hecubino hasn't had it on his head either.
No.
Hey, yeah, maybe if you put it on Hecubino's head, he could taste Talos.
No.
Could work.
Getting rid of it.
All right, so you smash it against all of the various parts of the sand skink, kick it, stomp it, spit on it, rub some dirt on it, and then throw it out the window. You then turn back to your turret gun?
Yes.
Okay, cool. Sounds good, Benki. Hecubino, you saw all of that. What do you do?
Good. Is Bob pretty messed up?
Bob, how are you looking, Bob?
I don't know. Am I still dazed?
You are not still dazed. You are coming out of being dazed. You lost your action last round, but you won't lose another.
Okay.
Unless, you know, something else horrible happens to you.
Okay. It looks like any damage to Bob's head is being repaired, but you can tell he looks like because of the damage that he took, you can tell that he is very out of it at the moment.
Okay. Hecubino is going to be like, "Hey, Amu."
Yeah.
Does Bob have lymph nodes?
Does Bob have lymph nodes?
Sure, he has something that would resemble a lymph.
Mm-hmm. Something similar, at least.
Okay. I'm going to do like an eagle's claw, and I'm just going to like grab onto the back of Bob's neck and channel a bunch of psychic energy into him for a mystic cure.
Ooh.
Fancy.
That's cool.
Yeah, which I think is just 1d8. Plus maybe something, but I don't think there's a plus to it. Let me just double check. Security source number here. First level. Oh, 1d8 plus my wisdom modifier. So let me roll out d8. Plus my wisdom mod, which is...
So real quick, I'm going to stop you before we go too far down this.
Okay.
So you can tell by looking at him that Bob is just kind of out of sorts. He is not actually wounded. That is to say, he doesn't have hit point damage, and Mystic Cure heals hit points.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, never mind then. Yep. I thought it healed one or the other. Okay.
Looks like it just heals hit points, I believe. Doesn't heal stamina.
Okay. All right. In that case, I guess I was just curious about whether Bob had lymph nodes.
Hey, Amu, does Bob have lymph nodes? I think so. Okay, cool.
Okay, no cool. Reason. I'm going to do something else now. who is on top of the Pops right now?
That is actually the Basilisk, the new Team Rust Dragon.
Oh, okay.
They seem to have a very capable...
social media team.
Propagandist.
Yep.
Okay.
Hype person. I think they've got... I think it's a gnome. Hype gnome.
Yep. Yeah, I'm gonna... Okay. I am going to try to knock them down a peg.
Ooh. Absolutely.
And basically, I'm gonna take footage from a, like, camera drone or something of, like... that move where they try to run over us and Bob like juked them and they kind of spun out. And it basically I'm going to meme that. And I'm like, when you walk into your house and there's like a ultra mouse on the ground. And then I'm going to make another one. That's like, when you get to uni and you realize you forgot your homework and like just like make a bunch of them and hopefully get them to like catch on.
That feel where your keys are in your other pants.
Yeah.
Nice. Great. Well, why don't you give me your choice of a bluff or intimidate check?
Okay. I'll go with bluff. They're both literally the same role, but let's go with bluff.
That is fine.
17.
That is good enough to lower their popularity by one, and that means you're also increasing your popularity by one. So you are now the most popular, well, relatively. Sure. You're the most popular vehicle. So the extra thrusters and engines kick in. And your like how easy it is to move the steering wheel. It just got like suddenly like the best power steering in the world. And so the vehicle's piloting bonus increases by 2. So you're now getting +2 to piloting checks. And its bonus is increased by 2. So
is that a permanent change or does that only maintain while we're in first position?
What do you think?
I think you're mean, so probably it only maintains while we're in first position.
Absolutely.
So,
okay.
Yeah. So now you guys are raking it in with the fans. You've boosted your own popularity and taunted another team. That's fantastic. It goes back around to Skritik.
does Bob seem to be back at the wheel?
Is this still Skritik?
Yeah, Skritik is.
Yeah, but can he give the wheel to Bob?
Bob can take it as a reaction.
Okay.
Yeah, so give him back control of the vehicle.
Oh, thank you.
And
get out of his lap.
Yeah.
Oh, did we have to make the check versus crashing at the end of the round?
You will hear in just a second.
Okay.
Yeah, Brian made it last time because he was piloting.
Got it.
So we're going to do it on Bob's turn.
Yep.
Assuming we get to Bob's turn and he's still at the wheel.
Right. Who knows who'll be piloting the ship in 5 minutes.
Yep. So it is still Skritik's turn. Bob has successfully taken the wheel from you, Skritik. What do you do?
Do you got an unmanned weapon right now?
Yeah, the plasma cannon in the back isn't manned.
I guess we're kind of pointed. Do we got anyone in our rear arc?
Yeah, you could hit the Tripod of Doom.
Yeah, might as well do it. Tired of rain bugs. I'll try that. Just make a ranged attack roll.
Yes, that's correct. Versus their EAC. Time looking.
Also, would it be possible to hit that pillar that's directly behind us?
Yes, you could certainly target the pillar and either try to create a little cave in behind you, which would get in their way, or slash crush them a bit.
Yeah, I like that idea. Let's do that thing.
So Hecubino nods to Skritik and points out the pillar.
Yep.
Cool.
Let's try that.
Okay, so you hit.
20.
Why don't you roll 2d10 as the damage?
All right.
Hey, that 8 is exactly good enough to collapse this pillar. Oh no, Tripod not succeeding at the piloting checks. That's unfortunate.
Heck yeah.
Halicon letting them down.
That's because there's still some residual my brain in there.
All right. So you have definitely made things worse for everyone behind you, Skritik, by smashing another one of these spires. That brings up Bob.
So I'm back to my faculties now?
Yes.
Okay. I'm going to take a look around. See where we're at. Who's sitting in the shotgun seat?
Who's sitting in shotgun?
At I think Skritik, this point,
Skritik moved all the way to the back.
Probably Quentin, huh?
Could be anybody. Yeah, could at this Amu? Point, it's either me or Quentin, since Amu is literally built into the side of the Jeep. So
yeah, and I'm back.
Quentin
at the
did just slap a helmet on your face, so probably Quentin.
All right.
Yep.
I'm gonna look over and do my best Magnum PI eye wiggle, my eyebrows wiggle, and I'm going to stomp the accelerator all the way down to the floor.
Oh, no.
And we're going to take off, and we're going to start going to the left in between those two columns so we can pull up alongside the other group and then start to, right as we round the column that'll be to our right, we'll swing into the right to try to thread through those last two spires.
Oh, nice. Whoa. All right.
So that will be with piloting.
Yes. Yep.
Now, so this is pod racing.
That, yes, 26. Because of we're in first place, we had a +2 to piloting, plus we had +2 while we were off-roading, so that's a +4. You said when we're going at full speed at 8, we have a +4, so that 26 stands by itself.
Yep, that's exactly right.
Woo!
So your goal is to go 1, 2, 3, 4, like basically.
No, we want to go to the left. So go
to the left. Okay.
Yeah. So swerve off to the left.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
And then start swerving into the right to go in between those last 7, 2.
8. So just a classic cutoff maneuver.
And then I scream, "You guys better blow something up behind us."
All right. You guys are ahead. How about that? You're in the lead. You're in the lead in popularity, and you're in the lead in the race. And the tripod starts digging itself out. Gotta make a check for that. Yep. And it starts gradually moving forward. The basilisk, oh boy, so far behind, but beginning to catch up a little bit, I guess, with everybody else. There's some, the basilisk starts unloading on the tripod and the colonizer, and acid pods are going everywhere, and there's the red iron manning a giant, you know, coil gun, and it's just going doo, 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 and he's just shouting "get some" at them, but that's all behind you, so that doesn't really, that's all great for you guys. Amu, what do? You're coming up on the end of this section. You can see that like the spires are starting to fade, and you're going to move into the next section of the race.
All right, how well did the basilisk hinder the other two ships?
You could make a scanner roll. Like, it's shooting them. It's dealing damage. They're not particularly... Like, all the ships have taken some damage at this point, but they're not broken. So they're all operational.
Or okay.
Ships, but, you know, vehicles.
You're going to hack them?
I can try and hack them, but...
You can hack... You can hack any of them, actually. I think they're all within range. Just barely.
Hack all three of them.
Let's go with the colony ship.
Okay. The colony ship is covered in living organic circuitry. So it definitely is hackable. So you pull open the little scanner kit and start typing away?
Yeah.
Cool. Why don't you give me a computers check?
A 20?
Yay, that's good. Mm. Let's look up hacking, shall we? All right, so you have a few different things you can try to do. First of all, if there's a specific thing you're attempting, let me know. But one thing that you can do that's just kind of a general rule about hacking is if you succeed by enough, you can gain root access to their system. And that doesn't do anything by itself, but it lowers all your subsequent DCs. So it makes all the subsequent checks a lot easier. Otherwise, you can try to interfere with a system like steering or weapons or a special system, or you can try to do something else if you have something in mind.
Can I use a system?
You can try.
Specifically, I guess weapons is what they used to send the Formians to try and board us?
Yep, that's right.
All right. We're going to send them at one of the other two ships.
Which one would you like to send it at?
Let's go with the tripod.
Piling it on. Didn't you guys swear to protect him or something like that? Whatever.
I'm protecting him by removing him from the race.
Up front.
Exactly. Great. So... Why don't you go ahead and roll another d20 there for me, Amu?
Same check?
No, just a d20. Just a d20. Okay. You're making basically the vehicle's check for them, because I like to put it in your hands.
Ooh, yeah. Classic.
For exactly that reason. So you have launched the Formian launchers. They get stuck in the pipes of the vehicle, and you see the basically back end of the colonizer explode in acid as it ejects several exoskeletons of dead Formian drones. It looks like that system is disabled. It took me a moment to realize that you were rolling their check, so you rolling a natural one was good for you.
Oh.
Oh, yeah. You just killed 15 people.
Yeah. Some drone ants.
I mean, they're like ants. They don't really have individual
identities. Yeah, but he probably doesn't have an actual Hippocratic oath.
It's a good thing there aren't any Sheeran in this party, because being like, ah, oh, they're just bugs. They don't have any individuality.
They're a hive.
Yep, so that did not go quite according to plan, but, you know, here we are. Quentin.
Okay. I want to do something incredibly foolhardy, but hear me out.
I love it. Just do
okay.
it. I need
to okay.
I'm just going to mute myself now.
Quiet, you. This is a good one. This is a good plan. Okay, so here's my thing. The main gun is on a turret. Does it have a 360-degree range?
Arc, yes.
The rail gun. So theoretically, one could spin the rail gun 360 degrees.
That's correct.
And at this point, there are spires on either side of us.
That's correct.
So if someone were, say, spheroid, that someone could hop up out of the chair, roll down the length of the rail gun, grasp the back of the rail gun with one's claw, swinging the rail gun around in a 360-degree arc above everyone's head, not cutting off anyone's head unless Banky doesn't remember to duck, and attempt to actually shoot both spires so they come down behind us in a huge, foolhardy explosion of might, while also broadcasting this to everyone to see, look how awesome we are when we show off.
So believe it or not, that is an action that's almost just directly supported by the rules.
I don't
do that. It's called make a full attack. Each attack will take a minus four penalty.
Oh. Now, what would I be rolling for that?
Attack rolls. Ranged attack rolls.
Ranged. Oh, I was thinking it might be, you know, acrobatics.
Nope, you're still shooting a gun.
Come on, I rolled down the gun.
Okay. I'll give you that one for free.
Yeah, I mean, so one thing you could do, maybe, is if you want to try to hype it, like, wait until I do the shooting and then, like, do something fancy for the hyping. Set it to a sweet metal beat.
Dun dun. So, wait, let me check something. So, what would I actually be rolling? It would be a ranged attack?
It would be two ranged attacks at a minus four penalty, but I will say that Vangie is currently holding on to the turret gun, so Vangie would have to allow you to do that.
Oh. All right, so here's my plan. I'm going to tell Vangie to do what I just said, and I am going to broadcast out the equivalent of a hold my beer on all frequencies. So
nice.
It may even actually have to be the space equivalent of y'all ready for this? That's exactly what it's going to be, and I'm gonna hype it. And it's going to be the most amazing moment in the world. And I am, in fact, going to jump on the gun and grab it with my claw so that when she does fire, I'm actually going to ride the gun around and give everybody a 360-degree view with my onboard camera.
That's pretty cool. Yeah, you're providing the view. And you can actually have dual cameras. You can show Vangie as like a face, you know, like one of those box-in, you know, view-in views.
Picture
and
shelter,
then the 360-degree of all of the firing. So
that's
I'm going to say go ahead and take your action now, and whether it really succeeds depends on whether Vangie's action succeeds.
No pressure.
So my action, what am I doing? What am I
rolling? Make a bluff or diplomacy check.
I'm going to roll diplomacy again because I'm really good at that, y'all. Dun, 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 dun. 23.
Hey. Yep. So he has you teed up nicely, Vangie. No pressure, as you said.
Yep.
No pressure.
Is it my turn?
It is almost your turn, but we're going to add a little bit of a complication because now...
Oh, why do you hate me?
The colonizer is here as well, and it's going to shoot acid pods at you.
Sweet.
So your vehicle's EAC is?
The EAC is 15.
Oh, cool. It misses yet again, but it is, it has sidled up next to you.
All right.
It's gaining speed itself. So neck and neck, coming to the end of the rift spires. Vangi, you're up.
I have a command. So even though the fact that I don't have, like, is that just like how that works in Starfinder, like Pathfinder 2? You can just
any
make two attacks?
Yes, that's a full attack action, is make two attacks, each with a -4 penalty.
Crazy pants. All right, let's try it. So that's going to be a net +2. Oh, wait, no, plus I get my... No, that's just a net of +2.
What's your regular ranged attack bonus?
My regular ranged attack bonus is +6, because it's plus... It's 3 base attack, 2 dex, 1 weapon focus.
So, yeah, then +2.
All right.
These are unmoving pillars of rock, so...
Yeah, hopefully... Hey, well, that's an 18 on one.
That's a hit.
And a 14 on the other.
That's a hit as well. Go ahead and roll damage.
Sweet. I believe it's 44, right, on these? 44. And I get to add my weapon specialization.
So what's that, +3?
Yep.
Cool.
So 11 damage.
Boom!
Oh, and then, do I roll that twice, one for each?
Yeah, absolutely.
And then 10 damage.
All right, I'm moving the ship slightly to indicate that you have successfully dodged it. Actually, wait a minute. You don't have to automatically dodge this. Bob, make some piloting checks.
I will make a piloting check. 24.
Nice.
That dodges one. Make another, because they blew up 2 pillars.
I will make another piloting check. 22.
Yes, the touch is both.
Wow.
Okay, cool. Good work. So you guys are able to emerge from the rift spires. Hecubino, you're up. It's the tail end here. You can see some of the other vehicles behind you. It looks like the colonizer got smashed pretty decently by those chunks of rock. What do you do?
Do we get a result for Quentin's?
Yes. And Quentin did successfully. He promised, and you delivered. So it was a nice 1-2. So you guys have dominated. You're currently locked in at the most popular. So that's good. And you think because your viewership numbers are good and your overall activity is good, if you wanted to make a pitch to your sponsor, you might be able to get something from them.
Okay. Yeah, that's what I was thinking. Once the gun stops spinning around, I'll motion for Quentin to get me on camera.
Quentin centers him on camera.
Okay. And be like, boy, I bet they'll wish they had space suds to clean up that mess.
And I'm going to punctuate it with one of those annoying beep 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 horns.
And put on like fake sunglasses
fake,
on me.
Fake sunglasses, and then a little super is gonna come up and says, deal with it, space suds.
I just imagine all these in like neon floating bubble letters.
Yep.
Superimposed over Hecubino.
Yeah, as obnoxious as possible.
Oh my god. All right. So make a bluff, diplomacy, or intimidate check. I'll allow technically any of them. Yeah, sure. Why not?
I'll go with bluff. 26.
Okay. You can select turbo clean or so clean it burns.
Let's go with, yeah, so clean it burns.
Okay, so another weapon has been unlocked on the Sand Skink. It sprays a harshly caustic cleaner developed for industrial waste and corporate sabotage. It is an acid spray, so I will add that attack to the vehicle. And with that, you guys have completed the second segment of the race, the Rift Spires. You're coming to the end of the tunnel, the canyon, and as you begin to exit, you can see the canyons beginning to widen out, and you see an enormous junkyard miles around as the next segment of your first race in Drifters.
Woohoo! That was fun. It's always great when you finish a race first, or at least a stage first. But you're going to have to wait until next week to find out what happens next. But in the meantime, thank you so much for all the kind words that you're sending our way regarding this show. I'm glad so many of you enjoy it. Don't forget to come back next week. And until then, here's hoping all of your dice rolls are critical hits.
This podcast is copyright 2021 by Major Spoilers Entertainment, LLC.